let me tell you about our exciting new partnership with Danny Pirate Studios. It is the Pants People's source for miniatures, terrain, and all your painting needs. Browse Danny's treasure chest of a gallery. And if you can't find the booty you seek, reach out to Danny himself in the Fantasy Pants Discord server. And now Pants People get 15% off your purchase on DannyPirateStudios.com with the code FANTASYPANTS. That's Danny with two N's, PirateStudios.com.
Time to continue our lecture on the Kings of Corn of Zinder. Today I want to talk about Madame Samira Ara, King of the Jeweler's Trade. Though she has been one of the merchant monarchs for only 17 years, making her the 6th King of Corn, our last behind De Piero Montelio, Madame Samira has quickly become one of the most vital and powerful of the law. Not only does she oversee the jeweler's trade in Noire, she is also charged with the oversight of the Silent Verse, the King's private policing force. Madame Samira's home life is a quiet one. She divorced her husband soon after joining the Kings of Corn, and has only one child, young Mello Ara. All accounts tell us that Mello is a sweet and kindly young man, that Samira shares a deep bond with her son. Madame Samira also keeps few servants, but has been known to spend a lot of time with Captain Harlan Burnshadow of the Silent Birds. Some rumors state it was Madame Samira herself that introduced the Burnshadow clan of Dwergar to the Zinda elite, though much of that particular tale is steeped in mystery.
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 Please tell me there's not a character named Miss Terry.
No, I wouldn't go there. I'm not that bad.
Even David wouldn't stoop that.
Even I wouldn't stoop that.
I know, I'm kind of ashamed that I even thought of that.
Do you guys watch True Blood?
No.
David.
Nope.
No, hang on. No. So I watched up until the last episode of the penultimate season. And I vividly remember the episode was called Radioactive. And I was wondering the whole time, why is it called this? What's going on? And at the end of the episode, when it goes to credits, they just played Imagine Dragons Radioactive.
Oh my God.
And that's why they call it that. Like, we spend a lot of time sometimes trying to deliberate what we should call it. We always take a line from the episode to make our title post-episode 20. And it's like a big thing we like spend time thinking about. And I'm like, man, if we were the Raiders of True Blood, it would be that easy.
Just need to pick a trendy song.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm...
I stopped right there. I was like, nope.
I don't know what I'm more surprised with, the song or the fact that you remember the exact episode that we switched to making titles, a line from the show.
Men of Honor, episode 20. Yes. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good episode.
Okay, now
episode.
I remember.
It's a big moment.
Bunch of nerds.
Speaking of our show, I like our transitions. I hope people like this. I hope people are into this mystery shebang. I know it's a lot of talking to people and investigating scenes, but to me personally, I'm in love with this. I'm flailing my arms like a madman.
Well,
this is
the
coolest shit.
I think people like at least hearing us have fun, and I know I'm having fun. I know you're having fun. I know Jeremy's having fun.
I hope Jeremy's having fun.
No.
So much of the show is like I get a whim and I'm like, ooh, I want to do this now. And then you, both of you and the listeners and anyone who's involved is suddenly just like going on an adventure with me as I'm just like, nope, we're doing this. We're taking new genre, you know, new show. We're a mystery now. But I have fun with it. I have fun with it.
Yeah, I think this is great. What else is great? Let me This episode, Jeremy, is getting released the 13th of May. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that will be...
I do believe we have our dates right this time.
That will be just after Mountain Mania, where we will have recorded a live show.
It was a great time.
I'm sure it went
incredibly smooth.
My point being, the next two episodes after this are going to sound a little different.
That's right. That's
yes.
right.
They will be, yes. They will be our live show episodes from Mountain Mania.
Taking a little murder mystery break.
So let's crack the case tonight, everybody.
Crack it tonight. Yeah, otherwise we're going to do a bit of a recap because we're going to have a bit of a gap between mystery pieces. Go back, re-listen to it all so you can pick up in the meantime. Speaking of meantime.
Where is this going?
Don't be mean, David.
We met Rochelle and Daniel.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to bring it up. I was like, what's going on, Steven? Where's it coming? Where is it? That was wild. That was a good time.
That was really, really cool. We, you know, chat with Rochelle and Dee fairly frequently online on the Discord anyways. And when we happened to be in the same area around the same time, we said, hey, let's get a beer and pizza and have a hike together. And we did exactly that. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. It was really great to meet both of those humans. And we'll be meeting Rochelle again.
Humans. You and humans.
They're some of my favorite people are humans.
Such a weird word. But yes, I will be seeing Rochelle again last week at Mountain Mania.
Last week / next week, depending on your perspective.
We're going to confuse the shit out of all of our listeners.
I'm already confused. Speaking of confused,
ooh.
We're doing a mystery. A lot of weird stuff has been happening. You guys made some huge headway last time, though. Speaking of Fyodor, finding what seems to be a Danse Macabre costume. Blood-soaked, or at least blood-spattered. He dropped a hymn, and he thought it was some sort of blood letter message. Was it? Could it have been? Or is it something else? Some kind of miscommunication?
I don't know. You tell us, David.
I don't know. You tell me. Following that, you spoke to John Franklin, got his side of the story, and then went upstairs to meet with Larissa Rin, as well as with potentially with the Grand Messer Amos Nir himself, who's they're both staying in the same room. As you pressed into this room, Blanche caught sight of a little tear of some red cloth. The material, the color this came from, she realizes in an instant, a banner of the Montelio family, a banner of the Golden Bay, a banner you've seen a million times in your life here that surrounds your every waking day. And you distinctly remember that Jean Franklin's banner, which he waved before you downstairs, was intact, which you put together immediately could only mean one thing, because there is a second banner bearer here, and you have just called him out. You've called out the financial advisor for your own family that you're sworn to. Blanche, in the moment, I'm excited to see where this goes.
Nobody is safe from our investigation.
Nobody's safe. Nobody's above the law.
Not even you, Blanche.
Like a third of our suspects are kings, so.
It's true. You guys are in way over your head. You're just kind of, they're humoring you for now.
Mm-hmm.
But that also points out how dangerous this tightrope you're walking is. Anytime, these people have the power to put you away. You got into the Grand Master's room by being very, very clever. You spoke to his pride, to his ego. He liked that. He separated you from Harlan Burnshadow and has brought you into the folds of his own very magnificently decorated bedroom. And that's where you stand now. You've just moved out to the hallway. You just called out to Harlan, who stepped back into view, to bring Le Dieu Lemoine to the cells. I don't understand. Le Dieu Lemoine.
Yes, I believe he was here in the Grand Messer's room. Notice the piece of fabric here caught in the door.
Oh, no kidding. Sort of looks just amazed.
I believe it matches his banner.
All right. Here. Yeah, your hand's out. Give me the fabric. I'll check it with him.
Ooh.
Being that we are from the same kingdom, I would like to see to this myself. And Blanche is offering to go with Harlan to...
Oh, but you are already standing in the Grand Master's room. Is this going to be a big old party split up?
What do you think we should do? It sounds like the insinuation is that getting back into the Grand Master's room is going to be very difficult.
I mean, it's kind of insulting that he lets you in, shows you his nice bedroom, and you immediately just turn to the hallway and leave. He looks petulant, impatient already, his foot tapping, his throat hissing just a little bit as he's watching you and your little charade outside the door. This is not a patient man you're dealing with.
Okay, Jules looks to Blanche and gives a nod.
What does the nod mean?
Go ahead.
Are you staying here?
Yes.
Okay.
These two, you have to remember, this is their first actual full mission together. They had a couple brief stints before this, a couple wacky misadventures, one of which we haven't recorded yet, because the live show's taking place before all this. But like, I love that they're still working out their chemistry. They're still working out. They're like, you nod, and it's like, what's that nod mean? Zeb might have picked it up.
Yeah, don't worry, Blanche. You'll eventually learn my communication styles. It's okay. I won't fault you for that yet.
Flatter this man. Your nose should be brown by the time I get back.
Jeez.
I know you have a tendency to be straightforward. We need him to trust us. I'll see to Ladoo. And, good luck on your end.
Thanks, I think I'm gonna need it.
And so, Blanche, you just slip out the door without a word?
No. What honorific does Amos Nier prefer to go by?
Grand Messer.
Grand Messer. Grand Messer, I believe someone was in your rooms. Do you perhaps have any security that would alert you to such an unauthorized presence?
No. No, I do not. I have the dark dwarves. His eyes sort of fall on Harlan in the hallway, who I'm sure would never allow something like this. And of course, no guest in my house would dare step foot in my room without my permission.
In such a case, Grand Messer, would you permit me to investigate it personally?
It's this big white smile. Why, yes. Yes, I would.
And if you would permit it, I would like to leave my close confidant, Jules LaRoche, here to see to your protection further.
Plus, you have my wisdom you wish to pick at, yes?
That's correct. We have gathered no nuggets of wisdom from you yet.
Then I shall fill his ears, as it were. Nothing else to do in the meanwhile as we wait. Though, you best inform the dark dwarf I will not wait for long. 4 o'clock. That's how long I'll allow this charade to go on. You want to solve this thing, you have until 4 o'clock, and we are going about business as normal. That's when the festivities are to take place. Skipping the boring luncheon and meetings, fine. But the show, Steve Aluma, and of course you, Mr. LaRoche, will perform tonight. 4 o'clock, in the ballroom. And do inform Harlan Burnshadow that if he does not allow me to attend to my desires, then I will have to inform Sturgeman upon the morrow that he's been holding me and my guests against their will. I believe kidnapping is a minimum 60-year sentence in the Sky Prison. You may want to, well, take care.
David just upped the stakes.
Stakes are upped!
Stakes are rare. Medium rare.
Figure it out by 4. Or, people are going to be out of the rooms moving around again. That's all. But still. This is sort of a still situation. It can't last forever.
Right.
Not with these rich folk who just want to get out there and do their thing. And like being held up. So you slip out then?
Yes. With that, Blanche heads down with Harlan to go find Ladoo.
All right. And you are moving with Harlan. Let's stick with Blanche and Harlan first. First things first, as you're moving down the hallway, you're moving right to the stairs, go up to the third floor where you intend to move to Ladoo's rooms. Very, insultingly, you would note on the map that DePiero Montelio, as well as Ladoo, Lemoir, Jean-Franklin Montelio, Jules, yourself, and Diva Luma have all been placed in the attic, the third floor. What's interesting about this is that basically puts the seventh King of Coin and his heir in the same place as the hired entertainment.
Right.
Clearly meant to be a sort of slap in the face. You move up. I think Harlan kind of begins speaking to you.
All right, well, I should give you an update real quick. When I was over there, when you stepped in the room, I went to meet with some of mine. Rooms have been searched, as of the suspects. Nothing of note's been discovered. Well, we've checked the other people, checked all the belongings, the rooms. We haven't seen anything suspicious like. So, is that? I also have confirmation that all of my men were in position outside during the time of the murder. It wasn't one of mine, Lady of Defense. Master Defense, that's the one. Lady Defense. And there were no holes in our defenses, I swear. It was one of the guests.
Thank you, Harlan. You're being very thorough. I appreciate that, of course. Where did they slip through? Huh? Let's follow this clue as far as it'll take us.
You move down the hall. You are standing before the Dulemois door. Just in case it's important, let me pull up roll 20.
I love how we investigated for, like, I don't know how long it was, and we found, like, all this weird stuff and all these clues, and the silent verse and their entire, like, miniature army that's here is like, hey, yeah, I don't know. We found nothing suspicious.
You'll be able to solve the murder off.
Well, no, it's just funny narratively.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's like they're good police officers, but they're bad detectives.
Sure. So David, I missed something earlier. Yes. Amos Near is giving us until 4 o'clock. What time is it now?
Let's see. It was when you got down from the actual murder scenario, it was about 1:10. So right now it's about 2 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So we have
shit.
So we have less than 2 episodes.
Less than 2 episodes. So you can do. You are standing before Ledoux's room, just past where you hear De Piero kind of muttering inside, you know, behind the door, and his, how dare they? I'll get them. I'm just kind of grumbling to himself. Harlan looks at you, I guess, kind of quizzically, like, shall I take point, or do you want to do it? So, all right, I'm used to being the bad guy.
Ledoux's room is just beyond De Piero's.
It's beyond Diva Luma's, which is empty. Diva Luma is actually in the salon on the first floor. Jean, which is empty, he's in the cells in the basement. And Jules is kind of down the hall from it, which is empty because Jules is in the Grand Master's room.
I feel like De Piero's going to be pissed either way. Either if I go straight to De Piero's room and say, hey, this is what's going on, or if I bypass De Piero's room and go to Ledoux's room. He's going to, like, find out. He's going to, like, halfway through this interrogation, Ledoux's going to, like, call out, and then De Piero's going to come bustling into the hallway and being really pissed off.
I can't help you. I'm not with you.
Well, maybe David can help me. David, is there anything that Blanche knows about De Piero? Like, how, as someone who has worked for De Piero for a long time, which order of events would piss him off the least?
There's trouble either way, right?
Right, exactly.
What you know about De Piero is he fervently pursues the, I guess, full acceptance and rise of the Tortle people. Pretty much everything he does, while he may seem like he's angry and envious over every little thing that happens, you know, all the Kings of Coin, the way they treat him, the way they, versus how they treat each other, he just wants the Tortles to be taken more seriously. He just wants the Tortles to be. So, like,
I think
it's
I got
hard
it.
To say which one of the. Yeah, that's. I mean, that's. You know that about him.
I think I know what I'm going to do then.
Okay, all right.
So Blanche is going to go up to De Piero's door. And to Harlan, she'll say, Harlan, stand by Ledoux's door. Listen to see if he acts, but don't make your presence known. I believe as the chief of the Silent Verse, that should be no problem for you.
No problem.
All right. And Blanche is going to lightly knock on De Piero's door.
Enter.
Blanche opens the door and walks through.
Ah, Master of Defense. Funny, I've not seen you up here.
I've been investigating. I've gained the trust of the Silent Verse and those who operate it.
Eyebrows just raised. You have now.
I have, yes. We've quickly gained authority here, and I wish to keep it. Now, my lord, I've stumbled across some evidence that may point...
Go on.
That may show our people in a poor light. I would like to further investigate
my
so
son,
that I can prove it.
He didn't do it.
It wasn't...
He didn't do it. He, like, stands up, like, fast. His feet hit the ground hard. Master Defense, you know your charge. I don't know what evidence you found, what they've found. Jean Franklin did not do this. You may not understand his motivations here, but they are, in their own sense, honorable.
My lord, I found a piece of a banner.
He didn't...
His banner, Jean's banner, is flawless.
It takes him a second.
I will do this quietly.
No.
If I can prove that it's just a misunderstanding.
It is a misunderstanding. You found the banner, I'm guessing, somewhere near Amos Nier's rooms.
I did. I hope you can quickly explain to me how you know that.
Because he was following my orders.
Blanche. Face palms.
Yes, the Doulamois was there. Around the time of the incident, but not a part of it. He was simply doing as his lord commanded.
And what was that? I can't help you or Ledoux if you don't tell me everything. They trust me.
Yes, they do. There is much to tell, and time is short. My son must be proven innocent, and Ledoux as well should not be caught up in all of this madness. But know this. John Franklin came here with a goal. I know of this goal, and I share it. But he's a fool who lacks any amount of subtlety. I had hoped Ledoux may do better. Damns, the boy went to the speaker for our world. Anika Nier, the Grand Messer's aunt. He told her of his suspicions, of what he found. Sorry, you don't know any of this, but believe me when I say there is a lot happening here behind the scenes. Secrets buried 16 years ago. Secrets that I intend to dig up.
And you sent Ledoux to dig those secrets up?
I did. I distracted Jean Franklin while he made his move downstairs. I kind of almost like a small, joyless chuckle. I gave him a stern talking to about his behavior of late.
He has been getting quite lax.
Hmm. But there actually is like some mirth in his smile too.
First Tortle Luminary. Pardon my language, Master Defense, but can you fucking believe it? The boy, off his leash, he soars. Don't tell him I said that. Never tell him I said that. He believes me an honorless cow, but he's wrong. Someday he'll understand. Someday. He will know why I have acted in this way, why terrible things had to happen. For his sake, had to happen. But first of all, we need to get out of this mess.
God, I want to dig into this so bad, but I know that it is not the time.
Tick tock. Tick tock.
I'm proud of Jean as well, sir. And I aim to prove his innocence. I would like to do the same for Ledoux, if he is indeed innocent. What did he tell you of his findings in the Grand Master's room?
Nothing of note, but there was some disturbing notions the boy had in mind. He's a fragile soul, easy to scare. He has, well, I think perhaps you should hear it from him. I give you permission to speak to the boy. Hear his side.
Thank you, sir. I shall take my leave. And she goes to shut.
Master Defense.
My lord.
My son has indeed soared. And I know it is not my part that has given him wings. You came to us in a time of need that I did not realize we had. You have transformed our house and elevated the Tortle people in ways that perhaps you don't even realize. If there's anyone who can see this dark situation through, I know it is you, Blanche.
You exaggerate, my lord, but I shall do my best.
When there's time, come to me again and I will tell you all. Everything I should have.
Sweet. That's kind of all I wanted. And she wordlessly shuts the door.
There's something almost somber in his expression, like something in him is about to break as that door closes. let's move downstairs. Back to the second floor, back to the very ornate, gorgeous lodgings of Grand Messer Amos Nir. White and gold surround you everywhere, jewels. Reminds you, in some ways, of home. A home you would rather not remember. Your father would have rooms like this, filled with such wonders, such expenses as to wow any person who would walk through. And perhaps you feel a bit of your father in front of you, that foolhardy greed, that arrogance just emanating off of this man, like an aura, a sickening aura. It's nostalgic in a way. As the door closes and Blanche begins to move away, Amos Nir is just watching with this smile that doesn't touch his eyes. His eyes look dark, and they turn to you.
Jules is standing kind of rocking back and forth on his feet, arms crossed in front of him, and he looks around the room. Nice place you got here.
I know, yes, quite. Quite. He's not looking at you. His eyes kind of turn back to the door as he speaks. You're wasting your time, you know. Fully just throwing it away. It's very clear what is happening here, isn't it? Haven't you realized yet?
Well, what's that?
Samira Ara. She's behind this all. She sacrificed her very son to throw everyone off, but it is her. Her and the dark dwarves working together. Just they always have. She's trying to seek my seat, my power, this in my house, using this as a front to make moves that I cannot see. Believe you me, those dark dwarves cannot be trusted. Harlan cannot be trusted. They came to us after having to flee their home. They came to us desperate on their knees after causing some sort of rebellion. And now they seek another. We threw them a bone back then. The starving mutts would eat any task we could give to them, any role. And we had some work at the time. They performed well, and so we made them our guard, the Silent Verse. Victor would die. What's going on over there?
Oh, no, just fidgeting.
Okay. So you just grab a die. Like, yeah. You got to punch me?
Well, is that animosity reciprocated? How do they feel about you?
They should love me. I pay them, after all. This new life of theirs. Maybe it's a little too sunny for their breed. But it's a life that I gave them. But they are working with her. Trust me, they are. Do not trust Samira Ara, and do not trust Harlan Burnshadow.
David, I'm sorry, you just answered like 50% of my questions without even me asking.
Interesting. Interesting.
Not even saying right now, I just wanted to bring that back up.
Texting at the table! What are you maniacs doing? Send each other memes?
Yeah, we're trading memes.
In the middle of the session, how could you?
Well, I'm gonna go for it now.
Oh shit. What are we going for?
When he finishes speaking, Jules will say, you know, I've got my own suspicions about some people. That's all I'm trying to do is get some answers. Figure this out. Because believe me, I want to restore the honor back to your place as well.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes.
You know where I come from. I get it.
You were royalty as well. The way I heard it, your family was richer than even I am.
As he's talking, Jules is going to awkwardly reach back to his lute and kind of adjust it. And as he does that...
It looks like you're picking a wedgie.
What are you doing?
And as he's doing that, he's casting Detect Thoughts.
Okay. I'm going to need a sleight of hand roll if you're going to pull off, cast this in front of somebody. Normally, that's normally something you need like subtle spell for. I'm interested in making a dice roll for it.
Interesting.
You're doing some hand movements. Are there verbal components to it?
Ah, shit. Nope. V is verbal.
V is verbal.
Yeah.
So SV?
SVM.
SVM. Okay. So material won't really matter too much because you have like your loot is sort of your
sure.
focus. But you're going to need to find a way to speak without him noticing. It's
Can I just, like, clear my throat? Or does it have to be...
I guess it depends on how good your roll is, right?
Oh, it's gonna be a hard roll. In fact, at this point, it's gonna be a stealth, and I'll say, not sleight of hand, because at this point you're doing multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
What's your...
Fuck.
What's your plus to stealth?
Not great. No. It's plus one.
At least you can find a way to step away. This is going to be a tricky roll. And you'd know that. Jules would know that going into this, that this is not an easy thing to pull off. But I'm interested in seeing how it goes if you want to try.
Can I...
Let me put you on the map, actually, so you can see the room you're in. Okay. It might help you to see, like, the...
I think...
How the room looks.
If I move away and there's any point that he's not looking at me, would I have an easier time matching that?
So if you look down at the room...
a distraction!
There are two dressing rooms coming off of it, as well as a master bathroom connecting them. There's two separate... There's, like, one sort of entrance room, a main room, a balcony. This is a elaborate room. The biggest, like, sort of set of rooms in this entire house. It's the master suite. And right now, Larissa Rin and the Grand Messer are both in the sort of main part of the room.
You could ask him for a tour.
That's true. That's better than me just walking around. All right, I'm sorry. What should I call you?
Grand Messer would be excellent.
All right, Grand Messer. We'll get to the question in a little bit more, but I'm just in awe of this place. Can you show me around a bit? It kind of brings me back.
Why, absolutely I can. Yes, let me... Larissa, would you take care of the second dressing room? It's a tad on the messy side. Larissa sort of nods vigorously. Yes, Grand Messer. And steps out of the room to the north where a smaller dressing room lies. And you hear her, like, hanging up, folding clothes. You're, like, coat hangers being sort of clicking against each other as he turns. Yes, you should see it all. Obviously, this is the main bedroom here, but you should see the balcony. The view from here... Well, it's the best in the city. He sort of turns to step out, boom, opens the door. For a moment, you find yourself alone in this room.
There it is.
The view.
There it is. So you cast?
Yes.
Give me a stealth roll. It's significantly less now.
Okay.
It's not going to be a high roll.
Okay.
You need.
Jeremy, when Jules goes out there, I want to know if the Grand Master's balcony has the same view that the kitchen does. Street.
Yep.
If it's within range of message.
Yep. Actually, hang on. No, he doesn't. It's on the opposite side.
Oh.
It's on the opposite side.
There you go.
Yep.
ABC, always be thinking.
It's always be closing. Glengarry Glen Ross, come on. There's like one person that's going to get that out there. All right, here we go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How bad?
Oh, no.
It's not a high roll. It's not a high roll at all.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the DC.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Because they're not in the room with you, the DC is only 5.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Jeremy.
Okay.
What'd you get?
Natural 1.
I quit.
Oh, my God.
We're dead. You're going to be thrown in jail.
No.
How many buttons do we have?
I can't use it.
Take them all, David. Take them all.
Let's
have fun with this.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
I think before.
Yeah.
If you'll allow it.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
Before anything happens, Jules knows. And he says.
You just see, like, you go to, like, cast the spell and something goes a little wrong. Like, you're like, I think this is what happens, right? You go to cast it.
You play it sharp, you idiot.
It's like in the dead silence as suddenly follows as the door opens. You almost expect some kind of wind, some kind of sound. You expect some click from the closet and you go to whisper it then.
Okay.
And then like all sound sort of stops. You can feel a presence
Understand. In
the
closet
behind you. The Grandmaster's arm sort of freeze. His body tenses as his head starts to turn back towards you.
Understand. A man of your honor and your prestige, you can surely understand. We're just doing what we have to do. To figure this out. Doesn't mean anything personal. Just trying to gather any and all information. That's it.
Give me a persuasion check. But, on the bright side, Detect Thoughts is currently active.
You did cast a spell.
That's true. And yeah,
You did cast a spell.
The spell is cast. And in your mind, you hear the Grandmaster think, so he's the killer. Do we dispose of him? In another mind, because I think this lets you kind of catch various thoughts around you. Huh. You hear behind you just one quick thrust. You hear a soft sound of metal coming from a sheath as Larissa begins to step softly up behind you, dagger in hand.
Can you choose?
But now, you say those words, you speak. You can roll a persuasion check.
Is doing this check going to take any time off my reaction that I have to her behind me?
These are the words you already spoke. This is all happening as you're saying those words. These things are moving. Yeah, these are all just, it's all a big blend of crazy shit happening at once.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. 12.
Ooh, just a 12, huh?
Oh, man.
And
it's still enough to give them pause. It's enough that you hear those stop. It says, behind you, stop.
I need a second. Steven, let's talk.
Okay, talk. There's a frozen stalemate. And there's a wariness in the air. You can feel actually fear coming from both parties in the room. And I think I'm going to give you more because this is a dangerous situation you're in, but you did cast Tech Thoughts. So I think you need to get more out of this. This is some cool ass shit. Oh, what are you doing?
What?
I just had a weird thought.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I think I know what you're going to do here. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
We know that Jean Franklin heard a pair of footsteps go to the room.
We don't know that it was.
And then we know that we heard a pair of footsteps leaving. That doesn't mean it's the same footsteps that come
exactly.
and go.
Yeah. That's what I was asking earlier off mic. Did he hear anything while they were in the room?
Yeah.
There was some missing information there.
All right, let's play this out.
Ugh. Ugh.
You hear snippets of thoughts racing on both ends. The Grandmaster is just thinking, magic, a spell, a connection to proud Edun, his family serves Amate Shab. There were remnants of Zab, Amate Shab worship in the hut. Yes, a connection, it's him. His eyes are flicking over behind his shoulder. You can hear behind him just, what do? Wait for the command. Wait for Father's command.
Oh,
whoa. So,
everything is silent. It's supposed to be supposedly she was just a servant, but now you know there is more behind that.
You've already got the spell active.
And that name, Edun, proud I'm just Edun. Saying, Jean mentioned that name before. It's the one that was supposedly killed.
I am going to go deeper.
Into who? You give a choice here. Larissa Rin or the Grand Messer. They will know you're in their mind when this happens, and the situation will go potentially in a very different direction. But both of them have fonts of information, apparently, for you. Larissa Rin has a note. Larissa Rin is connected to this in some way, you know, but the Grand Messer, he knows of your family. He's thinking of Zomate Shab and some worshiper of Zomate Shab, one that is apparently long dead, according to Jean Franklin. I love this. I'm just imagining one of those scenes. It's like if you ever watched Death Note, and this is moments where a big sort of bomb will get dropped between the characters as they're having this sort of mental cat and mouse kind of psychological battle. And then all of a sudden the screen will just go full red or blue as you enter full frozen time inner monologue moments. And they're always really tense. And that's what I feel like is happening right now. Just one of those, the whole room is in grayscale. Everyone's frozen in this moment. These thoughts are racing into your mind from theirs. What is Jules thinking? What is Jules gonna do?
Larissa.
Yes.
Damn. Okay.
Wisdom save.
You push deeper into that mind. Man, this is interesting. Oh, wait, I rolled it on my computer out of habit. Let me get my dice out. It's way cooler.
Why? Because it was a bad roll?
Yeah, was it a natural one?
It was a middling roll. Might have passed. But.
All right.
But it's not right.
I'll let it slide this time.
That's a worse roll.
Yay.
Perfect. What's the number, David?
Eight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fail. It's a mega. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Perhaps you.
So I have an order in my head. So I'll let you know when I'm going to come in with something.
Okay. Can you direct your sort of where you are?
Huh?
Can you direct like what they're thoughts you're looking into are, or is it more just like you're looking deeper into what's behind their surface thoughts, right?
Let's see what it says. If I probe deeper, the target must make a wisdom save, blah, blah, blah. It gains insight into its reasoning, its emotional state, and something that looms large in their mind.
Okay. Luis Arena's terrified. Emotional state, terrified. Reasoning behind this, reason behind the aggression, the weapon in hand, the want to strike at you is, this is all wrong. Everything's so wrong. The stampeding horse, the riot breakout, Melo Ara, the heirs of the princes have been dying one by one, or heirs of the kings, the princes and princesses of Coin dying. And she's wondering if they know, whoever's doing this, did they know it isn't Azra? Do they know that she's Amos Nir's true heir? And she's terrified. She's terrified of you. She thinks that perhaps you are a part of this. She's terrified because even this day felt so wrong. That note left on the table for her, just asking to bring a tray and a particular bottle of wine upstairs. No name on the note. I think you see it flash in your mind. A note that simply says, bottle of jelly black classique noir and a fruit platter to Mellow Ara's room. Two glasses, a tip for swift service, and there's a few gold just left sitting on it. She didn't know who left it. She was out of the room when it happened, but she followed suit. She's scared because even going downstairs, things were off. That bottle she went to reach for was not in the right spot. It was one sort of wine nook to the left of where it should have been, and the label was facing down, not up. She always puts them up. She's a perfectionist. Everything is perfect. It has to be perfect. She's the heir. She will inherit this home, and so this home must be perfect for the Grand Messer, for her father. And I'm going to give you one more thing, because this is really cool. It's really cool you chose her. Behind this fear, there's one glint of hope, one glint of relief, one thing that makes her know that soon she can rest. Brother's coming. It's okay. Brother's coming. And in your mind, you see this moment. You see her standing in a room besides a man who looks just like her, a twin brother, just younger, who begins to don the red leather outfit of Sturge Man. And then you are pulled back, rejected from this mind. She sort of snaps, her legs go into a combat stance, her arm reaches up with the knife held. He was in my mind. He was in my mind. He saw things.
Grandmaster, you know where I come from. But if you've seen or know anything else about me, then you know I disassociated from them a long time ago. All that I am trying to do is find answers and restore your honor in this house. What was done is terrible, but to have it happen in your house?
He's... Okay, I'm going to roll over your 12 from before, since we're kind of still dealing with ramifications of that first check. But here's the thing with that 12. There was sort of a sliding scale of what could happen as a result of that particular persuasion check. 12 is still above 10. It's high enough that he sort of nods. Leave. Stay out of my business. You may investigate as you see fit. See this through. Larissa, behind you. No, he saw too much. He knows too much. Daughter, he says, and he looks to you knowingly. Enough. It's fine, he says. We can trust him. And in your mind, from his, the surface thought. And if not, your brother will deal with him tomorrow. Leave. He points towards the door.
Jules gives a small bow, turns around slowly, facing Larissa.
Staggers. Held in a shaking hand.
And gives her a small bow as well. And slowly makes his way around her. And out.
There's like an electricity in the air. This tension. Just you're sort of goosebumps on edge, and you step out of that room. You feel that door close behind you, and perhaps that tension swiftly falls. A figure stands before you in this hallway. You look up just in time to hear, "Hey, Jules, what's up?" "You look pale, man. What's going on? Did you see a weird void?" "All
right. Now, would you believe me if I said I almost died?"
"Honestly? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would."
"Yeah, well, that's what happened. So, let's get the fuck out of here."
"Oh, let's go." And you begin to move away. Harlan is speaking to another Duergar. It's probably Duergar, but I don't know. Another Duergar outside the room, the one that's kind of posted watching between these different rooms in this hall. Kind of turns back. "Right. We're good for it then.
Let's go."
"All right. So I'll step in. We'll take him down to the cells. Speak to him there."
"I'm afraid that having Jean Franklin around may change his testimony. We should question him here."
"I mean, if he's upset, isn't that better? It's your call, but if what you say is true, if he was snooping around in places he shouldn't be, he's going to the cells."
"Very well. He can go to the cells. Just give me a little time."
"All right."
She doesn't even knock. She just opens the door, or tries to open the door.
As you open the door, you hear this like turtle just almost like scream a little bit and kind of move back.
"I heard whispering out there, a master of defense. What is the meaning of this?"
Sees the Duergar in the hallway outside, just looking at him, scowls in their faces.
"I've got some questions for you, Ladoo. May we sit a moment?"
Yes, of course. Yes.
You see him, like, he's usually just pompous. We saw him earlier, and he was just, you know, the spitting image of asshole. And now he looks really anxious, nervous. His fingers are kind of rubbing and drumming against each other as he's...
"Please, come in."
Okay, so he's nervous.
"How is Jean Franklin, anyway? I saw him get dragged down. I suppose he's having the time of his life in the cells. Serves him right, running away like he did."
"Ladoo, I know everything, and I'd like to hear your explanation."
I'm afraid I don't know what you're..."
She shows him the piece of banner.
"Oh."
I think he just reaches over, and he has like a smaller pole. Like, his isn't a full spear, it's like a pole with a banner on it, and he kind of like unravels it, and you see there's a fragment missing from one of the upper corner.
Oh my. All right.
"Because I'm here, and only because I'm here, you have an opportunity to explain yourself."
"All right. Very well, I will do so. You might want to sit. This is... well, it's terrifying."
"Huh. Does Blanche really get the feeling that she should sit? This is going to be terrifying?"
He's freaked out to all hell. You've always known Ladoo to be a nervous disposition.
Sure. All right. She'll sit down to put him at ease, if nothing less.
"Master Defense, I never actually went to my room. I was following a request from Lord De Piero. I suppose I can tell you this in all confidence. Yes?"
"Like I said, Ladoo, I know everything."
"All right. Well, I waited a brief time in the upstairs hall just out there, then moved to Amos Near's room while he was to be busy with preparation. We know he's a perfectionist. He'd oversee everything downstairs. He would not return to his room. De Piero was counting on it, and so I went while he was distracting Jean Franklin. Ugh. The only other freed-up guest to be dishonored by this attic room situation. So yes, I moved unseen through the halls. I went downstairs to the second floor. And I went into Imosnir's bedroom. It was unlocked. I stepped through. Suppose he thought no one would have the audacity to venture inside. But I felt nervous, so I stayed by the door to listen for steps. I'm not built for this kind of thing, you see. This dangerous guile... My mind was already in a state of panic, but I knew that what I saw, I He starts getting kind of upset. As I listened at the door, I soon heard someone approaching from down the hall. The steps were thundering in the silence, too loud to be normal steps. I peeked the keyhole expecting the Grand Messer, but I saw a phantom. Blanche Trudeau. Something horrific wreathed in black with a skeletal face. I've heard tales of the Beza of the jungle, vengeful spirits of the dead who seek to infect those who wrong them with their endless malice. Surely that's what I saw. I only looked for a brief second and fled from the doorway. I think that figure was turning away from me in that moment towards Melo Ara's door. I know what killed Melo Ara, Master Defense. It was a Beza. I was shaken up. I only gave the room a cursory examination before I heard soft steps moving away from the door. I was sure that someone had been right there, had heard me and fled. I was expecting guards to rush this way, so I made to flee. When I peeked into the hall, I saw the head of service approach Melo Ara's door with a tray. It looked like a fruit bowl, a bottle of wine. She spoke to Melo, who seemed surprised by the service, and left. And I made my escape right after she was out of sight. I made my way upstairs to report my failure to Lord De Piero. That's it. That's everything. So he mentioned hearing steps move up to the door.
Yeah.
And then away. You would know that was Jean, who had come to the door, heard someone inside, then fled to the bathroom to hide. Bathroom. He heard Larissa Reen moving up the steps that time. This is when Ledoux peeked out the door with the keyhole and saw Larissa Reen at Melo Ara's door, corroborating John's story. And Ledoux saw her leave. So that does explain that.
Wait, so hold on. Did Ledoux see Jean and think Jean was this figure wraithed in black?
That was afterwards. When he first arrived in the room, he saw something horrifying. This figure wreathed in black with a skeletal face. He only looked for a second and then panicked. And sometime later, he heard steps move to the door. That's when Jean appeared. You would know. So the one thing that this is, or adding to your information, is that before it all went down, a figure wreathed in black with a skeletal face moved down the hallway and towards Melo Ara's room. This was soon after everyone had got here.
Before Larissa even came up.
Yes, before. Before Jean, before Larissa, a figure with booming footsteps.
Blanche is thinking back to the black dress and Dance Macabre mask.
Mm-hmm.
That was found. So the question is, who was wearing it?
You know that it was covered in blood. Whoever was wearing that, whoever Ledoux saw in that moment, might not have been this Beza, the spirit of legend, but it was very most likely the killer.
Yeah. Booming footsteps.
Booming footsteps. What could that be? What? Why would that be notable? You want to make an investigation check?
Yeah. Didn't you say that somebody was like a half ogre or something like that?
Oh, there is a half orc.
Half orc, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me roll.
That is Xenia Ruba. Mix Margus Ruba's daughter is a half orc.
Huh.
Margus Ruba is a full orc. For a certain reason, roll advantage. I'll explain it if you catch this.
Okay. Thank goodness for the advantage, because the first roll was not great.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Crit my pants.
Did you really?
On the investigation.
Did you really?
Yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I love when I think player and character's mindsets like sort of align. So you're hearing the story and you catch this. Okay, this is clearly, it's clearly the mask. It's clearly the cloak.
She's a Jules LaRoche fan.
She's a Jules LaRoche fan. But the other thing hits you, because you're thinking about Xenia Ruba. Your mind flashes to her. Blanche's mind flashes to her. And one thing sticks out. One part of her outfit that you saw when she was first there. Xenia Ruba is wearing a very large pair of essentially combat boots. Heavy-looking boots that would make heavy-looking steps.
Heavy-looking steps, huh?
Heavy-sounding. Shut up. A fan of Jules LaRoche.
And a bloodletter?
Perhaps.
My goodness.
In this room, with the young ward of De Piero Montelli, your mind sets on a new suspect. Xenia Ruba.
All right.
Princess of Coin. and maybe, just maybe, a murderer. And we'll call it there. I just dropped all my.
I know.
I kind of blew
and
my.
We'll call it there.
Kind of blew my load all over that last scene. Jesus. I kind of have another one in me.
And there's post credits.
Oh, shit.